help Hotzchibuch Barachsanya, and I think that that's the entire community, not only of Hass, but really of Yerushalayim coming together tonight. And as we know, these are what are called by Chazal Yemei Skula, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, from the time that Am Yisrael gathered by Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Ishachad, Belev Achad. This is a time that we're supposed to not only pronounce, but literally relive the Achdut that we felt when we said, as Mrs. Smiles mentioned, Nasa V'Nishma, not simply saying it, and it's just a schut to come and to see and how the real Achdut and Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar is relived today. And on a similar note, I just want to thank all of you and Rabbi Michelle and the entire Mishpachat Michelle for putting this together on behalf of all of us. Can you hear there? Excellent. Now I can move around. Wonderful. And what we're going to see is that the idea of Torah Chesed, which ultimately is the foundation, not simply of the Torah, but really what we're celebrating tonight, is hopefully something that we're going to appreciate all the more when we take a look at Megillat Ruth. And on Ezra, we're all sitting here tonight to a certain degree, even just conditioning ourselves for staying up all night tomorrow night. Right? There's some yeshiva, by the way, where the boys coming from Chutz La'aretz have Yom Tov Sheni Shagoliot, and they stay up the night afterwards as well. Yeah, so this certainly is very good practice. What we're going to do is to try to understand that this value of Torah Chesed as expressed in Megillat Ruth. And even though, as I mentioned, there are so many different aspects of Shavuot that are really coming to teach us that it's not simply the learning of Torah, and it's not even simply the fulfilling of mitzvot, but Torah has to be infused with Torah Chesed. It's depicted, for example, even in the basic story of Ma'amad Har Sinai, we see that the prelude to Har Sinai is ultimately Yitro coming. Yitro, a non-Jew, was coming to set up a judicial system. And the basis for setting that up, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, is because it's not fair. It's not fair, it's not nice for Am Yisrael that they're waiting online all day, just waiting for you to judge them. And sure enough, we find that even Rashi, who says, Ein mutam u'mochar b'Torah, that story really doesn't belong chronologically before Ma'amad Har Sinai. Conceptually, ideologically, it does, to teach us that that's the foundation of what Torah is supposed to be. Torah Chesed. A Torah that is going to go hand in hand with chesed, with kindness, with sensitivity one to the other. Similarly, if we look at the actual commandments of celebrating Chag HaShavuot, in not only Parshat Mishpatim, but primarily in Sefer Vayikra, what are the mitzvos that always accompany Chag HaBikurim? Don't forget whom while you're harvesting, and don't forget the ani, the ger. Make sure that you include all of them. So out of all times of the year, sometimes when we're most focused on our own fields, and when we're bringing in and appreciating the property and the fruits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, this is the time that we have to take a step back, recognize not only that all these brachot are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ultimately, we have the responsibility of sharing them with others around us. And therefore, it's not by chance, I think, that we pay attention, not simply to the personality of roots, but to the themes of sacred roots. And notice that I'll call it a sefer because Chazal, only around the 2nd century CE, are going to enact that we read this out loud in a public forum, particularly on Shavuot. But ultimately, it's a sefer that's supposed to be probed, that's supposed to be learned, that's supposed to apply to our lives on a daily basis. Shavuot, though, is the particular time when we're supposed to be all the more sensitive. So we're going to get started with appreciating how the chesed of roots is going to catalyze not only a wonderful mishpacha of Malchut Beit David, but we're going to see that the major themes of the Sefer, namely repentance, redemption, and royalty, or Shuva, Geula, and Malchut, all of these are really going to be the fruits of Chesed. And obviously, that's enough just to inspire all of us tonight, right? Just knowing that Chesed is the root of not just brachot in general, sensitivity, social conduct, contracts between one man and his fellow man. No, it's more than that. This is really the foundation for the major values that are promoted within Yahadut. So we get started with that. Firstly, the Gemara Masachat Sota that tells us, here's a proof for the fact that Torah, in addition to teaching us commandments, in addition to being the source of a wealth of knowledge, in addition to teaching us the basis of Emuna, Chazal tell us in the name of Rav Simlai, Torah tchilata gmilut chasadim v'sofa gmilut chasadim. In short, what is Torah really trying to sensitize us to? Gemilut chasadim. How we should extend ourselves to other people. What's the proof? Tchilata gmilut chasadim. expressed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dechtiv, Vayas Hashem Elokim La'adam Lishno Kotzno Te'or Vayalbishim. Hashem, at the very beginning of creation, not only does He create man, which Chazal also understand as Olam Chesed Yibaneh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzem, limits Himself in order to create mortal being, but Hashem goes out of His way and even provides us with a kotzno te'or, with some type of clothing. And what is the chesed that Hashem performs at the end of the Sefer Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu personally buries Moshe Rabbeinu. An idea that we find repeated numerous times in Chazal as the epitome of an act of chesed known as chesed shel emet, because now there's no way that one can reward the person who was gomel the chesed to him. Ve'yikaver oto bagay, we find the beginning then, the end. Chazal basically are saying, don't you see that the entire content, everything within the bookends, is also obviously gemilut chesed. And interestingly, who are we supposed to learn the chesed from? The Torah is teaching us, mahu brachum b'chanun afata heyechanun brachum. But with this then, we turn to Megillat Rut and we see we're not going to learn chesed just from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Megillat Rut, almost the parallel then to the idea of Torah chesed in the Torah, this we're going to learn from individuals. And not just any individuals, but individuals that may surprise you. Individuals that aren't even part of the Jewish fold. So much so that Chazal teach us, Amar Rabbi Zeira, what is this Megillah really coming to tell us? Why did Chazal enact that we read this aloud on the public forum? Don't try to learn too many halachos from this. Don't even learn, interestingly, the halachos of Geirut, which really aren't going to be codified for numerous generations after the story. And it's really not about Isser and Heter. Don't try to learn too many of the halachos of Matnot Aniyim here, of the various matanot that we see Boaz provides for Ruth, or the fact that she's going to go and perform leket, because that's not even really done, kedatu kedim, as we'll explore in Sefer Ruth. Rather, lama nechtava, lelametcha. Do you mind if I ask you, what did you always learn? What is the whole point of Sefer Ruth? To teach you? Chesed, right? That's what I learned also. But that's not actually what Chazal say. Lelametcha kama sachar tov legomlei chasadim. What does that mean? To teach you the rewards for chesed. It's not just to teach you the value of chesed. The truth is that you don't need Sefer Ruth to teach you the value of chesed. You already know that from the Torah. Ruth is here to show you the fruits of chesed. Do you know how much sachar you get for chesed? And maybe that will motivate you. And then what we're going to see is, what do you get for chesed? You're going to be able to achieve tshuva and gu'ula and malchut. Isn't that enough? That's a sufficient incentive. Chazal, therefore, are going to explain over and over again and say, look carefully, look and appreciate the themes that are meant to be taught here, that are manifest through the very actions of the characters. But before we begin, we're going to try and understand really what chesed is. We're using this phrase over and over again. But what is this chesed that we're supposed to be sensitive to? Right? Is it just basic kindness? The Rambam, particularly in Moreh Nebuchim and Chelek Gimel, where he tries to define different terms that are used in Tanakh on a philosophical but also on a very technical level, explains that really there are two types of chesedim that we find incorporated over and over again in Tanakh and Halakha. He says, Zeha perakolel, perushim yanei shlosha shemot shetzrachu lefersham. He says, they're actually repetitive words, so I want to qualify what each one is. Chesed, mishpat, and tzedaka. Sometimes we use them interchangeably, but really let's try to understand what each one is teaching us. Kfar be'arnu b'perush avot, in his perush on Pirkei Avot, shechesed inyano haplaga be'eze davar shemakligim bo. So chesed doesn't have the same borders as tzedek, as mishpat, as justice, as righteousness. Tzedek is, and can be, and should be, exaggerated. Meaning there really are no ends to chesed that we know. We recite this every morning, Ilu dvarim she'ein lahem shi'ur. What are the various acts that don't, or the mitzvot that don't have shi'ur? Peya, bikurim, rayon, gemilut chesedim. This is haflaga. V'shimshuva b'haflaga gemilut hatov yoter. The more good that you express, the better. V'yadua she'gemilut hatov kolel shnei yamim. But there are really two types, or two ways, that one can give of this good. Hachamiham l'gmol tov, mi she'in chok alacha klal. Wherein you give good, not because you really owe it to anyone. V'hasheni leitiv l'mi she'ro'oi l'tova yoter, mima she'ru ra'oi. V'rov shimush sefrei ha'nevuah b'milat chesed, hu batava l'mi she'in lo chok alacha b'chlal. The Rambam makes it very clear that what is the ideal chesed? He says there are two types. One is where I just act with chesed, not because I really, again, I believe that the person deserves it, and not as payback to him, and not because there's any hope alachaklal, not because there are any expectations either. And I act with chesed simply because I want to bestow kindness upon the other person. There are other times, though, that we do favors for people. Why do we do that? Because we know deep inside that we're going to get something in response. We know that, oh, that person did something for me, so again, I should really do something for her. Right? She cooked a meal for me while after I gave her, so I'm going to cook that meal for her, you know, Amrit Hashem for the next one. Right? Or whatever the case may be, the Rambam says true chesed, ideal chesed, is generally what we also call, what he's alluding to in Perkei Avot, the chesed shel emet, wherein I am not expecting and I don't even want and any type of chesed in return. And this, obviously, is what's going to be manifest in Sefer Rot over and over again. As a matter of fact, if we would turn back to the Torah and see amongst the various characters, the noble personalities in Tanakh, who would you definitely say Chazal turn as a prototype of a Baal chesed? Adam Avinu. Right? Even though we really only have one major scene, right? The scene wherein the Shlosha Anashim come to greet him, these Bedouins. But Abraham just goes above and beyond, extends himself, kachom hayom, in the heat of the day, offering them food and washing and more food and drink and sleep and our senses. But these are Bedouins, Abraham Avinu. You're going to see them now and probably have nothing to do with them in the future, in addition to the fact that they don't even share your values. And here they are, they're dirty and they're sullen. And Abraham goes out of his way between Mishrat Hadim. Chazal see him really as a prototype for the chesed that ultimately the Rambam is alluding to. But then there's another character, and this is obviously Ruth. And if you take a look on the first sheet, you'll see just a few samplings of parallels between Ruth and Naomi for chesed, and that of not just Abraham himself, but the family of Abraham. And therefore, when Eved Abraham goes to search for an appropriate wife for the son of Abraham, he knows what value is he looking for more than any other. Obviously, chesed. So, for example, in Sefer Rut, we find a very strange terminology, one that's not employed very often in Tanakh at all. The words in the Gimel of Perek Bet, where now Rut goes, Vatelach vatavo vatelakit basadeh acharei hakotzrim, vayakar mikreha. And an event happens, right? Just happens, fans. Again, which clearly, Chazal alludes to this, but the Pshat even tells us, when it looks like too much of a circumstance or too much of a coincidence, what do you know? It clearly was not, right? Almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure with all the detours along the road that Ruth was going to end up in the field of Boaz. Asher mi mishpachat Elimelech. The only other time that we find this with such juxtaposition in stories in Tanakh, lo and behold, is in the story of Eved Abraham and Eliezer going to search for Rivka by the Ayin, by Yom HaShem Elokei Adonai Abraham. What does he say? Hakarna lufanai hayom ba'aseh chesed im Adonai Abraham. Hashem, can you please just let it happen that this chesed is going to be performed? Similarly, the words hinei, right? And lo and behold, out of everyone, the very first woman, out of the hundreds of women who can come by the Be'er, is going to be Rivka, so too, Pasuk Dalid. At that moment, who happens to come to the field when Ruth is there? The landowner, the plantation owner, he named Boaz Bam Mibeit Lechem. Similar terms as well, Nitzav and Na'ara. But perhaps the most striking here is what we find in Sefer Ruth. What does Boaz encourage and basically offer Ruth? Don't go to any other field. I will take care of you. I will take care of all your financial, of all of your daily needs. I will make sure that you are provided for properly. Vishatit Mesheri Shavun Hana'arim. And that you can make yourself available to all of the foods that I have and also the air, the private water springs that are near the field, very similar to the entire scene by the Be'er, wherein Rivka not only provides, but basically offers on her own to take care of drink, both for Eliezer and for all of his camels. And therefore, what is the response when Naomi hears about this? Baruch Hu LaHashem, Asher Lo Azav Chasdo Etachayim Etamitim. It's very clear then that when Hashem sends the proper messengers to portray this kindness, to act with kindness towards others, and it definitely is really a blessing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She recognizes this. Eliezer also says, wow, Baruch Hashem. Hashem, thank you, not only for your emet, not only for the clear guiding hand in the story, because it was just a little too perfect that the very first woman who came out met the criteria for kindness. So I know that this is an expression of your kindness. Lo azav chasko v'amito me'im Adonai anochi v'darach nechani Hashem v'tachi Adonai. You led me not only to the basic area of my master, but you led me even to his exact family. And therefore, the ideas of chesed and emet are going to continue, both as Eved Abraham tells the story to the family of Rivka, and just as we see as well with Boaz, who recognizes that this is an opportunity for geula. Im lo yigal hagiza li ve'eda. If you don't want this opportunity of chesed of geula, which we're going to explore more, then tell me. So too, Eved Abraham says, look, you have an opportunity. This is so clearly from Shamayim. But in lo hagidu li, tell me if you want to forfeit this opportunity of Yad Hashem, which is so manifest in the stories. So here we already see that the author, whom we're going to see, Chazal attributed Shmuel Hanavi, clearly trying to show us the parallels between the prototype, the paradigm of chesed in Torah, and certainly how this is going to be relived through the characters in Sefer Rut. But what I wanted to focus really on the ideas of Torah's chesed. What should Torah's chesed provide for? It's not simply, as we said, because the value of Torah's chesed and the foundation of our lives is kindness, but even more than this, because kama sachar tov legomlei chesedim, just recognize how much wonderful, or how many wonderful brachot are going to come from basic acts of chesed. Bracha number one, tshuva. When we think of tshuva, and very often because we live outside of Eretz Yisrael and for part of our lives, perhaps, but we think of individual tshuva, we think of yamim noraim, but the truth is that tshuva is a constant state, and one that's in the Torah presented a priori as a national state. By this I mean that in Sefer Bereishit, there really isn't tshuva, right? Or at least not in Shat. Yes, according to Chazal, Chaim performs tshuva, Noah performs tshuva, Yosef, right, Achav, Yehuda performs tshuva, Tzadkami many. But the pshat is, no, you did something wrong, and there are going to be dire consequences. In Sefer Shemot, you see this very clearly. Every time on Yisrael sin, what comes thereafter is a consequence, a punishment. Vayikra, there's a new term. What's the new term in Vayikra? There's kapara, right? There is some level of protection that you cannot be provided for on the condition that you offer Korbanot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bamidbar, though, we see again back in the Machane, in the everyday life of Am Yisrael, there isn't any protection. They're going to be punished over and over again. All of a sudden, we're upon the imminent entrance of Am Yisrael to the lands of Eretz Yisrael. And what happens when Hashem says, you know, real life in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to sin. And Moshe Rabbeinu, after the laundry list of mitzvot of Mishnah Torah, tells them at the end, inevitably, you are going to sin. And inevitably, there is going to be galut. You're going to lose your autonomy. You're going to lose your control of Eretz Yisrael. But not to worry. This is the beginning, as we know, of Parshat Nitzavim. After all the punishments come, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not the end of story, but rather, this is what we see in Zvarim Parak Lam at the top of page 2. V'hayaki yaboi lacha kol ha-dvarim ha-ela, ha-bracha va-ha-klala, asher natati lefanecha, ve-ha-shevoncha. Then you have an opportunity of returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Step number one, though, because you're the ones who created the rift between yourselves and Hashem, you have to be the ones to bridge that gap. And therefore, who does tshuva start with? We're going to say that this is the milah mancha, the repetitive word in Dvarim Parak Lamed, appearing no less than 7 times, what Buber would call the perfect milah mancha, and it begins with who? With us. You have to undergo what we'll see now, introspection. It starts with us firstly returning to our hearts. And when do we return to our hearts, ironically? When we're distributed and dispersed amongst the Goyim and we don't have our own national identity anymore. That's when you're going to realize something is definitely awry. Pasuk Bet. V'shavta Hashem Elokecha. And then you're going to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This time, manifest through observance of mitzvot. V'shamati b'cholo, k'chol asher nachim atavchaya, matav v'anacha b'chol v'abcha v'chol nafshacha. Just when you think you've done everything excellent, Hashem is going to reciprocate. There's going to be a mutual response. You perform 2 stages of tshuva. Take a look at Pesukim Gimel and Dalet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to return to you. Firstly, B'shav Hashem Elokecha et Shevutcha b'Rechamecha. Hashem will allow all those who are outside of Eretz Yisrael to return. What does this already teach us? Returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu then is going to be proven, or the barometer of the return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be measured based on us returning to Eretz Yisrael. If we succeed in returning to Eretz Yisrael, then what do we know? We have restored a certain level of a national relationship, a relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. So when Hashem returns you in two steps, Vishav and Shivutcha v'richamecha, and then Vishav v'kibetzcha mikol amim asher yifitzcha Hashem alukach Hashemah, Hashem is going to bring you back from all the four corners of the diaspora. And then we think that the story is over. Excellent. Now we have a relationship with Hashem again. Everything is perfect. Then Hashem has returned to us. We have returned to Him. Isn't this nice? No, that's not the end of the story. Pasuk Vav. Umal Hashem Elokecha. Only once you're in Eretz Yisrael. I can't really explain it to you, but I think most of us, after living here for a little while, even if it's only Shana Ba'aretz, you feel something in the air, right? That somehow there is a circumcision of the heart. Umam Hashem Elokecha. Hashem is going to make you a little more sensitive here so that you can take your relationship with Hashem to the next level. If you look carefully at Pasuk Vav, what is that next level? Le'ahava, wherein you can actually love HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha l'man chayecha. And then what will you do as a result? Hasuchet, va'atat tashuv. Just when you thought that the cycle of tshuva is over, the Torah tells you, no, there's another level. And then you'll be able to return to Shamat B'Kol Hashem Vasita et Kol Mitzvotav. Why is that a component, obviously, that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael? Because of the Mitzvot Tzliyos Ha'aretz. Only here in Eretz Yisrael can the full relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a national level be manifest. And here it's okay for me to say that because I'm preaching to the choir. But honestly, when people ask, wait, does that mean, based on these psukim, that you can perform full tshuva in Chutz La'aretz? So I just want to qualify. On an individual level, you can. On a national level, can you properly return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a complete sense of the word of repentance in Chutz La'aretz? No, because the process continues in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't that make you feel good? But let's continue for a moment. And then what happens once you return here, and once you return to full mitzvah observance, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at Pasuk Tet, Ki Yashuv Hashem Lasus Alecha Kasher Sasa Lavutecha. Then Hashem will return to you with a full rejoicing, without any economic problems, without any security issues. Then things are really going to be perfect. But remember, Pasuk Yud, that who has to start this process? Ki Tashuv El Hashem Alecha. You have to be the ones to initiate and to catalyze the process of repentance. And this parshia is imperative for us to take a look at when we open up Sefer Rut. Because as soon as we hear in the Megillah, Perek Aleph, the Mila Mancha, and just for the sake of time, I kind of gave it away for you. Yana, what is the Mila Mancha in Perek Aleph? Yes, there's a lot of shame and sham going on, but what is the word that repeats itself 12 times in one Perek? Shav. Right, which means that in order to properly understand this, as Nachama Leibowitz always would say, go back to the very first time that the word is employed in Tanakh, and this will teach you what the significance of the term tshuva is. So we already know tshuva is a national identity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as manifest through returning to Eretz Yisrael. Now we're ready to start the Megillah. Vayhi bimei shvot ha-shoftim, vayhi ra'av ba'aretz. We already see how the land itself is a barometer of our relationship with Hashem. The Navi here alludes to the fact that there's another sefer, i.e. see sefer shoftim, before you look at Sefer Rut, in order to understand some of the problems of the time, and then you'll understand why there's a ra'av ba'aretz. When is there a famine in the land? Whenever there is improper or lack of fulfilling of mitzvot, and therefore there is a detachment of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So during this time, a man from Beit Lechem Yehuda is going off to Lagur b'Sde Moab, Hu v'ishto u'shnei banav. V'shem ha'isha limelech, v'shem ishto na'ami, v'shem shnei banav machlon v'chilyon. Obviously, in addition to paying attention to their names, here the author is focusing on shame, shame. Look at the name, because one of the themes is going to be to provide a name. But obviously, we're also supposed to appreciate some of the nuances of the names, right? We already like the name Naomi. Why? Naomi's here, because she's a Na'ima. Very nice. She's very pleasant. But also, from the proper pronunciation of her name, what else do you hear in her name? Na'ami. Ami. You already see that she does feel this connection with Am Yisrael, with her nation, as opposed to, let's say, the notorious names Machlon and Chilion. Don't do this to your children. Yana Machlon, from the terminology of Machala, Chilion. Right? Death and demise. Obviously, it seems that this is, again, some type of creative name or a play on their original names. Efratim Beit Lechem Yehuda, Yehu Sham,
ויימצא למלך איש נמי בצא שהרי ושני בניה ויסו לב נשים לו להיות שם אחת אור פאק. We'll see again the idea of turning the nape of her neck. V'shem ha'sheni t'root, which is already similar to Naomi in the sense of root, re'ut, camaraderie, v'yeshvu sham ke'eser shamim. Remember these 10 years. V'yamutu gam shnehem l'chol l'chayom v'tesher ha'isha v'mishnei yelada o'mi isha. We have a very brief exposition. Ava, a woman who comes to the lands of Moab, ironically leaving her bayit of lechem, of bread, to go live in the fields of Moab, and ultimately now is going to be destitute. She no longer has her husband, she no longer has her children. And instead of wallowing in passivity and in sadness, what does she do in Pasuk Vav? Vatokom ki vachaloteha. And here's the magic word, what does she decide to do? Vatashav. She obeys, she follows Ram Paraplamid. She says, okay, it's clear that by leaving Eretz Yisrael, I have detached myself not only from my people, but I've detached myself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what am I going to do, says Naomi? I am going to perform tshuva. I am going to return or restore a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's called repentance. Because I am trying to fix what I have done in the past. I have created a gap. I have created really this rift or breach in a relationship with Hashem. And I want to bridge this. And she already knows. What does she have to do after undergoing introspection? She's going to return to Eretz Yisrael as a sign, really, or as we discussed, a barometer of restoration with Hashem. So she gets up, because Hashem has started to provide food again in the land, which in itself tells us that Hashem has somewhat restored himself to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anna was, as she gets up to go, v'teitzi min ha'makom asher hayta shama u'shtei chalotah ha'ima v'telachna baderech lashuv el Eretz Yehuda. And I'll already tell you, if you look carefully, as I mentioned, the word tshuva here in one chapter is mentioned 12 times, 6 times in the direction of returning to Eretz Yehuda, going back to Beit Lechem Yehuda. 6 times, though, we're going to see that it's in reference to lashuv, returning to stay Moab. Obviously, Naomi encouraging her daughters-in-law to head in that direction. So we as the readers, when we hear tshuva, tshuva, 12 times over, 6 times in one direction, 6 times in another direction, what are we supposed to feel? Generally, we're too exhausted to feel this when we hear Megillah words in the morning. But ideally, what are we supposed to feel when we hear these words?
Tension.
Tension, excellent. That internal dialectic, that personal tug of war, right? Not just, okay, aliyah, not aliyah. Obviously, we're supposed to feel, in which direction do we want to return? Which one wins out, by the way? They both end up in Beit Lechem Yehuda, in Eretz Yisrael, obviously meant to inspire us. But let's go back to our shovna for a moment. Pasuk Chet. Vatomer Naomi l'shvei chalota, lech na shovna. She says, you know, I'm really an idealist. I very much am a supporter of tshuva. I think that everyone has to return and restore to a relationship with their God and with their nations. And therefore, I'm going back to my nation and to my God. But for you, my dear daughters-in-law, it's not tshuva. Because you are not returning to an identity that you once had and lost. You should return to your identities. What are your identities? You are Moabite. And therefore, you should do tshuva too. Tshuva to where? To Moab. Go back to your families, to your Beit Ima, and may Hashem watch over you and perform a nice chesed. And what do they say? No. Batomer laki tach nashuv la'amech. We will return to your nation together with you. And Naomi basically tells them, no, that's very nice, but that doesn't make any sense. Because if you come with me, you are not performing tshuva. But you should perform tshuva. So again, shovna benotai lama telach na'imi. If you come with me, it's not returning to anything. It's just accompanying me. It's just walking together with me. And sure enough, Orpah, as we know, listens. Anna, she kisses Naomi goodbye. Verut dafka ba. And this is where we already have to ask, what in the world is going on in Ruth's mind? Really, this tug of war of returning with Naomi to Beit Lechem or returning to Moab is Ruth's tug of war, right? Naomi doesn't feel any compunctions, right, or any reservations with regard to staying in the lands of Moab. She already knows she wants to return, she wants to repent, she wants to restore a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which demands of her that she pick herself up and get back to Eretz Yisrael. Ruth doesn't have any of that. She doesn't feel any of that sense of identity that is pulling her to Eretz Yisrael. It is her internal dialectic that we're supposed to feel. Should she go to Moab, which, by the way, makes a lot of sense. Why? That's her tshuva. That's her identity. That's her family. She should be a nationalistic Moabite. But there's something apparently pulling her to accompany Naomi to allow for or facilitate Naomi's tshuva in Eretz Yisrael. Can anyone tell me what that is?
Chesed.
Beautiful. Right, you should have all yelled that together. But yes, it's chesed. Yeah, there is nothing else. How can she allow this elderly woman to return to the country alone? And there's here, as we see, it's her loyalty. It's her sense of kindness. And there is no philosophical reason, no ideological, and not a religious reason, even though many of us were brought up learning that, yes, Ghana, this is where Ruth is going to convert and accept all Malchut Shamayim. There are hints to it, but really, during this time, this does not entail conversion at all. And rather, she realizes, I do not want to leave Naomi. And this is what's going to transform Ruth to simply a tertiary character, one of the characters here, too, and that's still a secondary character, because a secondary character is one who facilitates but also highlights the accomplishments and the role of the primary character. In other words, whose tshuva are we really talking about? Whose tshuva is being presented? Naomi's. It's really about Naomi. Naomi now has an opportunity to restore, to repent, to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through returning to Eretz Yisrael. Does Ruth gain anything from this? Absolutely not. But she is going to facilitate. She is going to help Naomi accomplish, stage number one, her tshuva. This is going to transform Ruth to the ideal supporting actress, right? She would win an Oscar, no question, because she is the paradigm of an actual supporting character. Through her, Naomi accomplishes her tshuva. I don't know if Naomi would make it without Ruth. Let's continue, though. Ruth is going to be adamant. But so is Naomi, very stubborn. She says, look, then Orpah performed tshuva. You should also perform tshuva. And Ruth finally says, stop it. Al tifki bilazbek lashuv malchorayach. She's a very strong character. I am not performing any different tshuva than you. And you're right, for me it doesn't make any sense and to go to you. So you know what? If it means that I have to tell you that I'll accept your God as my God and your nation as my nation, what I'm trying to tell you, Naomi, is that I'm not leaving you no matter what. I am going to accompany you. Pasuk Yudchet Vatira Ki Mitzametzet Hi Lalechet. And that's exactly what Ruth is doing. It's not tshuva for me. It is lalechet. It is to accompany you so that you can perform your tshuva. And that's why in Pasuk Yudchet Vatelach Nashdehem. Really, they're both just going. And when Naomi returns and she sees the Muhumma, literally her neighbors aghast, when she walks into Beit Lechem, she says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Rather, Maraki Hamar Shaddai Li Ma'od Amin Leia Halachti Vereikam Hashivai Ma'od. What does she feel? She's returned to Eretz Yisrael, but maybe it was a little too late for her to return. She's unsure whether or not her tshuva even worked. Does she feel embraced by the people? We're going to see in just a moment, she certainly does not feel embraced by the land. Does she feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of her? Does she feel that she has a relationship with Hashem that's been restored? Not at all. And now we're wondering, I don't know, maybe her tshuva hasn't really been fulfilled. But the author tells us not to worry. Pasuk HaFed, Vatashav Naomi, Verutam Lovia, Kalata Ima, Hashabem Miskei Moab, Hima Bo Beit Lechem, Betzilat Kitzir Sovim. There is a lot of hope in the air. And there is, as we know, this is a transition from Pesach, from bringing the Omer, to the Chag HaKatzir, to the wheat season, there's a lot of potential and optimism. And yes, she did perform tshuva. She doesn't feel it yet, but just know that thanks to Ruth, Naomi made it back to Eretz Yisrael and is now going to be part of the restored relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we see from the very next section in Sefer Ruth, that's not the end of the story. If you turn the page, just one more time to page number 4, we're going to see that there is a new Mila Mancha in Perek Bet, in Perek Gimel, and in Perek Dalid. What's the new Mila Mancha? Geula. There, I just gave it away. Geula. Again, what's Geula? How do we generally interpret Geula? Yeah, we call it redemption. What does that mean? We have all these eschatological connotations, Yimot HaMashiach, and Mandei Samitash. But that's not how Geula is presented in the Torah, and certainly not how it's presented in Sefer Ruth. Let's take a look. Again, we just read this a few parashiyot ago. Again, in Parshat Bahar, we hear about the halacha of Geulat Sadeh. This is really the first time that we have this technical terminology that's mentioned. And now, where is it? In what context is it mentioned? In the context of all the halachot of Yovel. What happens in a Yovel year? We know that the original land, or the land returns to its original owner. And then the Torah tells us, but just know that if you have a relative who unfortunately cannot hold on to his land, he can't afford to remain the landowner, it was a bad crop, the sprinkler system broke, whatever it may be, and he has to sell his land, the relative of that person, of that landowner, what should he do? He should be the one to purchase the land. He may not get a discount, and it may mean that he has to invest in this land, and it is a financial burden on him. But the Torah says, why should you do this? In order to make sure that it stays within the family, in order to make sure that it stays within, literally, the shame. Right? If we take a look at the psukim themselves, ena pasoka chavdalet v'chol eretz achuzatchem geula titnu la'aretz. Again, what geula is to return, or in this case, assure that the original owner is going to remain connected to his land. And even though it's going to go back to him in a yovel year, even in the interim, it should stay within the original ownership. And therefore, what is geula? Geula is my connection with the land, my autonomy in the land. And why is this so significant? Why do we attribute such religious or spiritual significance to this very technical term of redeeming a land so that my name is connected to the land? So based on what we discussed with regard to tshuva, why is geula? Why is one's name and one's ownership over Nachala in Eretz Yisrael so significant? Because it represents my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I have a Nachala, if I have a stake in Eretz Yisrael, and here we're not necessarily going to explore all the halachas of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but they are very much connected. But if I have a land in Eretz Yisrael, and my name is connected to the land, then we already learned the land is a barometer of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you are automatically connected to God. And that's exactly why we don't want to switch around the family identities, even before a Yovel year, because it's that name that ultimately will be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is there any other mitzvah, by the way, where you see the significance of perpetuating a name, especially through the land? That's Yibum, right? So we are going to explore Yibum, even though Yibum is really a very different halacha. Yibum is a halacha where if there are two brothers and one passes away without leaving a child, then the younger brother or another brother then has the mitzvah to not just have a child with the widow, but ultimately give that child, the brother, the deceased brother, nachala, so that there will be some line. There will be a perpetuation of his name. So a very similar spirit of the law, even though the technicalities are rather different. Let's take a look then and see how the Ramban understands even the mitzvah of Yibum. He tells us at the end that Yibum, this, by the way, is what he comments on the story of Yehuda and Tamar. We think that it's just about perpetuating a child, but it's more than that. He says, why did people do this? The bottom, Hinigul Lifnib Yisrael, Lasota Masahazit, Bahol Yor Sheha Nachala. It's done for the sake of inheriting the land. Bo Tam Shaloi Yebahem Isur Hasher, as long as it's okay to marry the person. Vikaru Oto Gula. He says, over time, even marrying the widow, the mitzvah of Yibum became associated, says the Ramban, with the mitzvah of Gu'ulat Tzadeh, because both of them have the same goal. What's the goal? Maintain one's relationship and connection and identity with the land through which you're going to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh inyan Boaz. He says that's what Boaz is doing, and that's what we're going to explore right now. V'tam nomi v'ashchenot. V'amaskil yavim. I love when the Ramban says this. He says, so if you're smart, you really understand. Does that put pressure on you? Yeah, now let's continue now, and we'll take a look and see how the chesed of Ruth does not stop at being basically the facilitator, the supporting actress to enable Naomi's tshuva. We're going to see that it's really Ruth and then the chesed of Boaz that also provides for Naomi's geula. Okay, and let's take a look at Perek Bet, and we'll see this ourselves. Ula Naomi moda l'isha ishi borcheil mimeshvachat alimalach u'shmo Boaz. Naomi is sitting right now on google.com trying to figure out and who the closest living relative is who can do what. She already knows that he's a go'el, by the end of the parak. We already discussed what does it mean to be a goel, the closest relative who has the responsibility of doing what? Of purchasing the field. Very technical responsibility. So she's looking, she can't afford her plantation, right? Keeping in mind that she's returning after years that the land has been laying fallow. So our sense is that it's a very decrepit homestead right now that she now is going to be living on, but she can't provide based on this. So she's looking for someone who, at least someone in the family, who will provide the financial resources to buy the field from her so that she can live, but at the same time, keep it within the family name. In the meantime, Ruth is very tachlis oriented. She basically turns to her mother-in-law and says, but dear mother-in-law, the pantry is empty, so what am I going to do? You may be concerned with our long-term survival. What am I concerned with? Our short-term survival. We have to eat. So I'm going to get up, she says. She offers on her own. I'm going to go valaktaba shibalim. And I'm going to perform leket with the shibalim. Anyone who is a little halachically sensitive with regard to matznot aniyim knows that this is mistake number one. She clearly is not very familiar with the mitzvot hatzuyot ba'aretz, as we can envision, not just for someone who's coming from Chutz La'aretz, but let alone a Moabite. What do you perform leket with? Leket is when you pick up the individual sheaves, right? What's a shibolet? Shibolet basadeh is an entire group. Again, the whole bunch of them. Right, so she says, I'm going to go though, and alaktaba shibalim. I'm going to collect some bundles. Achar asher msachin beinav, v'tamar la l'chibiti. Right, Naomi says she'll go. V'telach v'tavo v'telakit v'sadeh. This is known as rikus palim, the concentration of verbs. With tremendous alacrity, she's going to get up. Achar ha'chotrim. And we saw this pasuk already. V'yikam rikra ha'chalkat ha'sadeh. She just ends up, what do you know, in the field of Boaz, where anything can happen. And lo and behold, something happens. These are the great shidduch stories that we hear about. Now, Hashem basically puts the girl in the right place and the boy in the right place. Does that necessarily mean that they're going to make the right decisions? Does that necessarily mean now that Hashem has set up the right context and the scene, does everything always end up happily ever after? No. What are we waiting for now? Now the individuals have to respond. Now the individuals, now that everything is set up, we still have bechira, we still have choice, we still are meant to be proactive, and we're going to see that what is the behavior that ultimately then is going to allow the scene to play itself out in such a positive way? The magic word again, chesed, excellent. And now here we see, v'nei Boaz ba mibet lachem v'yomer l'kotzrim Hashem imachem, v'yomer lo yivarechacha Hashem. I already like Boaz, right, by virtue of the fact that he's an ish gibor chayel. My sense is that he's a warrior based on Sefer Shoftim, and soon we're going to see, no, this has nothing to do with his militant personality. Rather, this is a character assessment. And now I like him also. Shem Hashem Shagur Bifiv. He is very proficient in the name of God. Vayomar Boaz l'na'aro hanitzav al-makotrim. And Boaz, who, by the way, fits his name so perfectly. What does his name mean? Boaz. In him there is strength. He is a gibor chayel. We now take a look at this Na'ar Hanitzav al HaKotzrim. Notice that almost every character, the positive characters, the less positive characters, right, even the notorious ones, Machlon and Chilion, everyone has a name. There are only two characters in this entire story, of primary, secondary, and tertiary characters who do not have a name. Here's one of them. The Na'ar Hanitzav al HaKotzrim. The second one, anyone remember in Parak Dalet, is Mr. Plomi Amloni, John Doe. Why are these two the only characters who don't have a name? We see that all characters in Roots either garner a name from doing something positive or something negative, but they all get up and they do something. They provide a name for themselves, for good or for bad. The Na'ar Hanitzav al HaKotzrim and Plomi Amloni are two characters who have the potential, who have an opportunity of providing such a wonderful name. The Na'ar Hanitzav al HaKotzrim can say such wonderful things about the tenacity, the perseverance, the tzniut of Rut. Does he? No. He forfeits providing a name, and therefore what happens to him? He doesn't get a name. What happens to Plomi Almoni? He also forfeits providing a name, as we'll see, and therefore he also is not afforded a name. What does the Na'ar say? He says, yeah, you see this Na'ar Moabiyah? Hashava im Naomi Mistay Moab, as if we didn't know she was already Moabite. She said, Alatana Vasafti Baomarim. I see that she's coming to collect in the piles, Achareha Kotrim. She's following all of the farmers around. Vatavo Vatamod mi Asaboker Va'arata. Zeshiftaha Bayit Ma'at. She is. She's very selfish. She's been here all day. You know, most Sanim come here just for a little while. And it's also hot in the sun. And they just take a little bit of what they need. But she is just here and she's persevering and she's staying here. And by the way, why is she there so long? We see because the Kotrim are not really acting with chesed. They aren't very kind to her. It seems as if they're not letting her take that much. Vayomer Boazel Roots. Boaz notices right away. And Boaz says, I don't want you flitting in any other tzedek. I don't want you leaving this place. Stay with my own attendees, with my na'arot. Enayach basadeh sher yitzorim pasuktet. V'alachta chareihem. Halo tziviti etam na'arim levoti magech. I told everyone not to bother you anymore. V'tzamit v'halachta l'hakelim. And also, I don't want you to act here as if you're one of the aniyim, one of the poor people. And you are my guest, my personal guest. Go and drink in the same place that my own na'arim, my own attendees drink from. And Ruth already recognizes this is above and beyond. Madua matati chen beinacha lahakireni. Why are you paying attention and recognizing me? Va'anochi nochliya. What does Boaz say? He says, I'm inspired by your chesed. Why am I doing this? Because I heard kol asher asit et chamotech acharei motishech. And what is that? Va'tazvi avi v'yimech v'eretz moladetech. Reminiscent of lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetcha mibeit avicha. He says, I'm in awe of you, Ruth, because you performed this unbelievable chesed. You forfeited, like Avram Avinu, your entire past for what? For Naomi? For someone else's future? For Naomi to be able to succeed in her tshuva? You did this for someone else's identity that you have no association with beforehand? Yishalem Hashem ka'alech. And Boaz is the first one to say, chesed is not going to go unrewarded. I assure you that Hashem is going to reward you for the chesed. And Ruth answers and says, already imsachein be'inacha kinachantani. You already have shown such sensitivity. You treated me unlike your other maidservants. And Boaz encourages her to stay and to join in the meal. And even when she joins in the meal, she takes back to Naomi. And let's take a look at how she returns to Naomi. Pasuk Yuchet, after collecting, Naomi knows this is not your regular ration that you get from standard Matnot Aniyim, because Boaz let her take all this extra from the Omarim, from the actual bundles of wheat. Where have you been? Because this is definitely, again, a very special person, Yihima Kirech Baruch, someone who paid attention to you. And she says, quite matter-of-factly, oh yes, Shema Isha Sharasiti Mo Hayom Boaz. And what does Naomi already realize? Oh my. Right, Ruth has not just allowed for my tshuva, what is she also providing for? Literally, Geula. She's the one through whom now I made that connection with Google.com, with Boaz, right? He is the one who I found out is the Goel in the family. And therefore she says right away, wow, Baruch Hu Hashem Asher Lo Azav Chasdo. She sees the chesed of Ruth as expressive of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is still taking care of us. She says, yes, karov lanu ha'ish megoalein avu. So let's just go over the quick technicalities, and then we're going to see what happens quickly in Perek Gimel and in Perek Daled. What should happen right now? Naomi should give Boaz a call. And what's the conversation that will ensue? What's it going to sound like? Hello, dear Boaz. Right, do you remember your deceased cousin, Elimelech? Well, Anna, he's not here anymore, and he can't provide for the field. Anna, I'm putting the field up for sale, and you, as the closest relative, have a responsibility to do what? To buy the field so that we can still call the field Elimelech's field, because you're still within the Elimelech family. Right? That's what should happen. Can we try to envision the scenario for a moment? Right? We already know that Naomi is elderly, and she doesn't have any sons, she doesn't have any inheritors, nor any, by the way, direct descendants of any type, right? Even daughters. She just has these Moabite, now one daughter-in-law. And Anna, what will happen then, let's say, when Yovel comes? Right, then it will go back. Again, Boaz will work the fields, but then it's going to go back to Naomi. And what is she going to have to do after a Yovel year? Put it back up for sale, call Boaz again. Eventually, what's going to happen? Naomi is going to pass away. And then, who does the field go to? Closest relative, who is? Boaz, what happened to the Elimelech name on the field? Now it's gone. And Naomi realizes that even if Boaz purchases the field, she will have temporary geula. She'll have a temporary maintenance on the field with the name of Mishpachat Elimelech. But that's not going to be permanent. And therefore, what does Naomi already say? She has a plan that's percolating in her mind. Again, quite bombastic, to be honest. What is she hoping in Perigimel? Well, she sends Ruth down to the Goren, to the threshing floor. She says, I know this is very strange, but I'd like you to propose yourself to Boaz in marriage. And don't worry, Boaz is going to know exactly what the intention is. Have you figured out what the intention is? Right, this is not simple, right, a seductive, promiscuous scene. Naomi basically says, look, there's the law of Gu'ulat Tzadeh. And what is the whole point of the law? What is the spirit of the law of Gu'ulat Tzadeh? That we remain connected with God through the land. So that we have a name associated with the land. Little technical problem in Naomi's case. What's going to happen? She isn't going to have that full tshuva and Gu'ula. She won't be fully connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because eventually what's going to happen? The land will be associated with? To someone else, with Boaz, right? With that satellite family. And therefore, Naomi tells herself, look, if Boaz marries you, and what technically should be the halacha, Boaz marries Ruth. Is that halachically Yibum? No, because he's not Machlon's brother. Excellent. Right, and therefore, Boaz marries Ruth after purchasing the fields of Naomi. Who should the field go to now? Boaz's son. It's going to be called still Boaz's field. But Naomi says, look, he knows that he's the Goel. And the whole point, the spirit of the law of Geula, is to make sure that the name remains in the family. To make sure that there's a connection with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the land. What do you know? Yibum. What's the whole point of Yibum? It's the same exact spirit. To make sure that the deceased also has a name connected to the land. And by the way, that means that if Reuven is the one who passed away, and Shimon now marries Reuven's widow, and Chazal say, it doesn't mean that they have to call the child Reuven. What do they have to do? Just give Reuven's nachalah to the child. That's the way that you perpetuate a name, because that's the way that you perpetuate his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Naomi is alluding to and hinting to Boaz. By the way, does he get the hint?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right? And that's why if you look in Perigimel, he explains. He says, look, Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Brucha at LaHashem Biti, Heitat Chastech HaCharon Min HaRishon. He says, this is just unbelievable. You are really from a different planet, Ruth. Again, because you're performing Chesed again. What Chesed is Ruth doing this time? She basically is just following and what Naomi is asking of her, namely, Anna to go and propose herself to Boaz. In other words, after sacrificing her entire past for the sake of Naomi's tshuva, what is she willing to do now by proposing to Boaz? Thank you, for the sake of Naomi's geula. Right? Not even for her. She is sacrificing her past and her future. Firstly, for Naomi's tshuva, and this is what Boaz says. This is just unbelievable. He says, this idea of sacrificing your future, this chesed for geula is even greater than what you did for tshuva. Because you can marry anyone. You don't have to be beholden to Naomi and to her family. You can go again and marry, if you want, a Moabite worker. You can go and marry whomever you want. And yet you are marrying someone within Naomi's family just to make sure that there's a possibility that this way the name of Naomi will continue through the land and she and her family will have a continuous relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that unbelievable? If you do that, sacrifice your entire future, and not just like Avraham Avinu, sacrificing your future because Hashem said, Geriyah Zarachah Bar Tolahem, but then eventually, Hannah, they're going to come back to the land, V'eschala Goy Gadol, I'm going to make you a great nation, says Hashem to Avraham Avinu. And Anna, one can imagine, Avraham also, the Ish Chesed, he does sacrifice his future in the story of Akitat Yitzchak, and there Hashem doesn't promise him anything. But here, it's not even about Ruth. Why is Ruth doing this? In Chok Allah Bechlal. Do you remember that terminology in Moreh Nebuchim? Not because she owes it to Naomi, not because she's expecting anything in return. She does this chesed entirely of her own choice, her own volition. She is going to support the tshuva and geula, catalyze this process for Naomi. And Boaz is simply astounded. And if you're Boaz, Boaz basically says, I kind of don't have a choice anymore. Why not? After I see your chesed, how can I not respond this way? And notice that Boaz is always responding to Ruth. Which, by the way, again, this is not detract at all from Boaz's wonderful character, because does he have to respond in such a proactive chesed manner? No. But it's very clear that who's inspiring him the entire time? Ruth. Ruchat l'Hashem. And therefore he says, don't worry, I'm going to make sure that this works. This is already above and beyond. You are just a woman of chayil. Please remember that terminology. Ataki amnam, little technical problem with regard to geula. Guess what? I'm not the closest living relative. I am not the one who has the responsibility to purchase the land. And therefore, and little problem, I'm also not the one who can fulfill the spirit of the law of Yibum. So, not to worry, I will take care of it. I see how adamant, I see how active you are in assuring that Naomi receives her tshuva and geula. So I'm going to play my role as well. First thing in the morning, baboker, im yigalech, tov yigal, im leach botz ligalech, ugal tich anochi. I will also play a role in the process of geula. And this brings us to Ruth Perek Dalid. The very next morning, Boaz comes, and lo and behold, that magic word again, vihinei. Right, the Goel just happens to be walking through the gates of the city, and Boaz says, time to sit down. Pasuk bet. Vayikach asara anashim. This in itself is strange, because for any business transaction, for geulat sadeh, how many witnesses do you need? Two. Gena, dine, mamanot, right, three in front of, again, a basin of three. Gena, just to make sure there aren't any disputes. Asara anashim, he doesn't need so many. Asara anashim is when you want to formalize some type of pronouncement, right, like a minyan. Vayomer lagoel. So he tells the goel, okay, we all know the halachot by now, vayukar parach, okay, we all perform chazara, excellent, this is the law. Chalkat asada asher lachinu l'alimelech. Elimelech's property is up for sale. Machram Naomi hashava misdei Moav. What's the halacha? What should you do? You should, as a living closest relative, you have a responsibility, midoraisa, to? You have to buy it. Right, which I know generally you don't want to do. Why? Why would someone not want to buy it? I have to take a mortgage out to purchase my cousin's field. But it's not so bad, because if you do purchase that field and you get to invest, you get to put in a new computerized sprinkler system, and then you get to enjoy the fruits of the field. While, by the way, the owners are also, you have to provide, they get some of the monetary produce of the field, the benefits of the field. But we said that why is it really a de facto situation to be in? Because then Yovel's going to come. So after, 12 years or 49 years, or maybe it's only even 2 years left to a Yovel, after I put in this new modern computerized system, what happens? It goes back to the original owner. So Boaz says, guess what? You are the one who has to invest in this land, but I have really good news for you, because this is an unbelievable deal. Egle aznacha, that means unbelievable deal. I just changed the words around. Keneg neged hayashem, neged zekhami, into gal ga'al. Why is it a great deal? Because between both of us, at the time Yovel comes along, what's going to happen? Naomi's probably not going to be around anymore. And then you got to invest the sprinkler system, and you get to keep the land. And also, well, what does the Goel say? You're right, Anochi Adal, no question. I'm buying Broadway and Park Place and putting up four hotels at once. Nana Pasuke, Vayomer Boaz. But just be careful. Biyom kenotcha hasadeh miyan Naomi. And he sounds like a professional car salesman here. He says, so I'm just warning you. On the day that you purchase the field, gen miyan Naomi umeit Ruth ha-Moaviyah. Wait a second, you're supposed to stop him right here. Does Ruth have any claim to the field whatsoever? No, she is not a child. She is a child-in-law. Again, not from a Moab. No, she doesn't get the field. It has nothing to do with her. He says, no, but she is the wife of the deceased. And the whole point of Geulat Sadeh, the spirit of the law of Geulat Sadeh is Lahakim Shemamet al Nachalato. What greater chesed than that? To ensure the perpetuation of the deceased on a Nachala in Eretz Yisrael. Which doesn't just mean that he's going to have some long-lasting memory. You don't have a long-lasting relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on the land that God gave all those who left Mitzrayim. Pasuk Vav, Vayomer HaGoel, to which the Goel says, you mean you want me not only to perform Geulat Tzadeh, but you want me to also perform the pseudo Yibum? And why is it pseudo Yibum? Because halachically, is he required to perform? There is an Yibum over here. But Boaz basically says, look, if you perform the law of Geulat Tzadeh, you're not fulfilling, in this case, the spirit of the law, unless you allow for a child who will be able to inherit the land. To which this, the Goel says, oh, no, I'm not willing to do this. Lo chalago, penashchita et nachalati. Can you envision the scenario? I have 5 boys at home. Now you want me to marry this woman, and that I'm going to have to provide for, and then she's going to have a child, and what happens to the nachalav nomi that I purchased? It's going to go to that one child. What are my 5 sons who have to divide up my nachalav? What's going to happen? Civil war. Right? And therefore he says, no, I'm not going to do this. If you want to put yourself in this precarious situation, Boaz, you go ahead. And that's when Boaz announces, he recognizes this is not your regular gu'ulat tzadeh purchase. This is also something being exchanged with Chayim Kol Davar. He says it's also the spirit of the law of Yibum. And therefore you forfeited providing a name. And that's why you'll have to perform this chalitza, this very embarrassing ceremony. Pasuk tet, Vayomer Boaz Laskinin. He's not finished yet. What is he basically doing? He sounds like a reform rabbi. He's distorting the law, right, for the sake of the spirit of the law. And what is he basically saying now? He turns to this kinin and he says, okay, are you halachically going to allow for this? What do you think? Should they allow for this? He basically is combining in fine print the laws of Yibum with the laws of Geulat Tzadeh, even though the laws of Yibum are really irrelevant here in terms of the halachic detail and the minutiae of the technicalities. And Boaz is saying that the spirit of the law of Geulat Tzadeh can only be performed if it goes hands in hands with the chesed of Yibum. So he turns to the skinim and he says, you see this? I'm willing to do this. Eidim hayom, atem hayom ki kaniti et kol asher lelamelech et kol asher lechayon amachyon miyan naomi. V'gam et ruta mavia ishet machlon kaniti li liyisha lakim shem hametza nachlaton. He makes it very clear. What's motivating me to do this? Hakamat shem hamet. I want to fulfill the laws of Geula. And the only way to do that properly is also to marry her. So what do they say? Pasuk yir alef. Vayomru. It's the people who say, and then the Zkinim that answer, Edim. It's almost as if the people put the pressure and they say, come on, right, look at these Ba'alei Chesed. And the Zkinim answer, yes. By the way, don't put this on your Mazel Tov cards. Do you want to have a Rachel and Leah type of marriage? No. What are they basically telling Boaz? We understand exactly what you did. Right, just like Lavan, who got Leah in through the back door, so to speak, we saw exactly how this worked. What did you do? Come on, you manipulated this whole scene to make sure that there would be the spirit of Geulat Tzadeh. Even though this poor Ploni Amoni guy, he lost out on a great business opportunity. But we understand why you did this. Asher banu shtehem et beit Yisrael. Because in the end, a wonderful bayit, Shiftei Yisrael, came out of this marriage. You're a Gibor Chayil, she's an Eshet Chayil, Asik Chayil Be'afrata. Make a lot of Chayil. Ukrashem ad b'Beit Lechem. And most importantly, may you succeed in calling out in the name. May you succeed in perpetuating not simply a name on the land that you can put on a mantle, but rather, and may you succeed in continuing your relationship with the land, which is a manifestation of your relationship with Hashem. V'hi Beitcha k'Beit Paretz. And we remember Paretz and Zarah, the sons of Yehuda and Tamar. Another not nice reference on the wedding wishes over here. And firstly, bringing back the Yehuda and Tamar story. And secondly, Peretz, remember what happened? He was the twin who, and after Zarah started putting out his hand, the first one, what does Peretz do? He bursts forth. Right, what are they hinting or alluding to with Boaz? We saw what you did. You weren't supposed to be the one to marry. You weren't supposed to be the Goel. You pushed yourself here. And that same thing, what happened to this Zerah Asher Yaldat Tamar Liyuda Min HaZerah Sheyitein Hashem Lecha Min HaNa'ara Hazot Vayikach Boaz Et Rut Vati Lo Liisha Vayavo Yila Vayitein Hashem Lahirayim Vati Leben. And take a look. Rut really did what? We're not going to hear about her anymore. Rut is going to disappear from the scene because what she was doing, her acts of chesed provided for Tshuva and Geula for who?
Naomi.
For Naomi. And now it's all about the success. Now we see it worked. all of Boaz and Ruth's efforts paid off, because here we see that Naomi does finally achieve and recognize the tshuva that she's been longing for. The restoration of her relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the lands, not only short-term, but long-term geula. The Nashim, the same Nashim who said Hazot Naomi, now turn and say, Baruch Hashem HaShalom Yishpit Lach Goel Hayom. Look at your geula, Vayalach Lemeshiv Nefesh. Which two words do you hear? Tshuva and geula. And now, you also have a child who's going to take care of you. As a matter of fact, not only the term Sirvi, Karishmo B'Yisrael, but we see that Naomi takes the child, and everyone recognizes the child as a ben l'Naomi, that's a kind of shmo oved. It's almost as if, right, Ruth here was also just the facilitator, right, almost as a surrogate for Naomi, for Naomi's geula, Naomi's tshuva. But ultimately, what comes out of this? Not only tshuva and geula, but ultimately, malchut. And why is this significant? Because you have to remember that the author, Chazal, say, is Shmuel. If I'm looking at the bottom of page 5, Shmuel Katav Sifro B'Shoftim and Rut, and he's the author that Chazal attribute the writing, not only of Sefer Rut, but also of Shoftim and Shmuel. That means that when you open up Sefer Rut and you see Vayhi B'nei Shvot HaShoftim, you have to remember that the author is basically saying, if you really want to appreciate this story, what do you have to do? You have to see my earlier work called Sefer Shoftim. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Vayhi B'nei Shvot HaShoftim, we're not exactly sure which time period of the Shoftim, but if you really want to know a basic, I would say the overarching theme of Sefer Shoftim, turn to the very end of Sefer Shoftim, where there's a recurring motif in all the stories. Anyone remember what's the motif? Ein Melech Yisrael, Ish HaYashar Bein Abiyaseh. We hear of a terrible time of chaos and anarchy. Why? Because there's no monarchy. There's no unified legislation. And therefore we have stories like Hasel Micha, distorted Avodat Hashem. We have stories like Kilat Mishmikiva, oh my, such Giloi Arayot. And then in consequence to that, we have a civil war, Shvichut Amim, the three cardinal sins, again, that are depicted in Am Yisrael during this time period. Why? Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Ish HaYashar Bein Abiyaseh. And if you look, just to give you an example, there are so many parallels between the stories. We have always someone from Beit Lechem Yehuda in the stories. We have people from Ephraim, Ephratim in the stories. Right, basically showing us that the stories of Ruth, right, happen within the context of the stories of Shoftim. And what do you see in the stories of Shoftim? You see, firstly, the failure of Shevet Yehuda. Instead of unifying themselves with the other nations, instead of taking a proactive approach and helping them finish off the conquest of the land, instead of helping out with the other tribes, and finally conquering the Goyim around, no, they don't take the initiative. We have to wait till Shevet Shimon asks, Mi yale lanu batchila? Who's going to go up? Whereas the obvious answer is Yehuda. No, Yehuda is not stepping up to that responsibility of leadership. So too, we also have a terminology over and over again of those who are looking for a nachala. Right? But we just saw, you don't have to go and fight for a nachala like the people of Dan are going to do. All you have to do is, and make sure that it's performed through chesed. You can receive nachala through paying attention to the spirit of the law. Also, another good example, throughout Sefer Shoftim, it's warriors, militant people who are called giborei chayil. What does Shmuel say in Sefer Ruth? That's not a real gibor chayil. Who's a real gibor chayil? Not those who go out and start harassing people in the house of Micha, or go and destroy the lands that they're not supposed to. Go ahead and conquer in Eretz Yisrael. A real gibor chayil is really a character assessment. And what happens at the end of Sefer Shoftim? We see a horrific story. The story of the civil war between all the other tribes against Shevet Binyamin. And once they basically wipe out the entire tribe, what do? They turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they say, Asa Hashem, here's that word again, Peretz B'Shevtei Yisrael. Do you remember Peretz? Hannah, what do they do instead of saying, we're going to take responsibility, we did something wrong, who do they blame? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remain passive. It's Hashem's fault, all of this. Instead, they allow the people from Binyamin to steal wives. As people go back, everyone goes to his nachala, not in the proper way, but in a very chaotic manner. Everyone is going to return under the state of anarchy. And Shmuel, the same Shmuel who also offers his own sefer,
And he writes about his mother's tefillah when she had him. And what does she say at the very end? Hena Hashem, please, vayarem karen mishicho. Hashem, we need a Mashiach. We need some type of melech who's going to go ahead and to stop the cycle. We need someone who's going to unify us. We need someone who can put an end to Ein Melech B'Yisrael Ish HaYashar Be'Nav Yaseh. The same author, Shmuel, authors Sefer Ruot, and he says, what puts an end to anarchy? What creates monarchy? There are individuals in society who can act against the tide of the people of Dan, and against the tide of the people of Giv'ah, who acted with such an atrocious manner towards the women. We have men such as Boaz who treat Ruth with respect. We have people who are acting with chesed in a completely selfless manner in order to serve as an antithesis to the selfishness that is so dominant during the time period of the Shoftim. And therefore, what is Shmuel basically writing? He's writing the antithesis to Sefer Shoftim. He says chesed doesn't only provide for tshuva, and chesed doesn't only provide for geula, but chesed is also the answer and the foundation for malchut. That Ruth is the one who ultimately is going to lead to 10 generations to counter the 10 years of the family breaking apart. We have the establishment not just of any family, not just of a short-term connection to the land, and not just a connection to the land, which is, as we said, an expression of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ultimately the relationship with Malchut. That Ruth is going to set the foundation stones together with Boaz in order to fix all the problems of the time, in order to unify Am Yisrael, and in order to establish Malchut Beit David. Which brings us then to the Midrash on page number 7. Rabbi Eliezer says, so really, what is the story about? It's teaching you that if you would only act with chesed, then wonderful, wonderful ramifications to come. Tshuva and geula and malchut. So sometimes it means just putting ourselves aside, and sometimes it means just thinking like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who provides for clothing for Adam and Chava, a burial place for Moshe Rabbeinu. And you don't even have to be so bombastic. Again, just thinking of others before yourself. Just recognizing that there's value to chesed, and there are wonderful ramifications to chesed, even if you don't necessarily see it in the short term. So Chazal say in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Boaz asa et shalo. Look carefully at the scene. Yes, it's true. Hashem basically set up the basic setting that we have characters in a field, but Boaz responded to the chesed of Ruth. Boaz did what he was supposed to do. Ruth asta et shala. Naomi asta et shala. That's because we have characters who acted then in accordance with the values of Torah chesed. And then Hashem says, everyone is doing the right thing. Afani asta et shali. I guess I have to play a role as well. Which brings us then to a beautiful, beautiful midrash, which I'd like to encourage you, all of you, to take a few minutes out tomorrow night, Tikkun Lel Shavuot. And this way, and as you know, Tikkun Lel Shavuot is based on learning select portions of the entire Tanakh. You're all going to do this, Be'ezrat Hashem. Tomorrow, learn a little bit of Chumash, a little bit of Nevi, a little bit of Ketuvim, a little bit of Gen Mishnayot, Gemara v'chulei. Gena, take a look at Mishlei. Right? If you learn this Midrash, then you fulfill both. Again, learning a little bit of Medrash and Ketuvim. So this is a magnificent, magnificent Midrash on Eshet Chayil, on Mishlei, Perek Lamed Aleph, that some of you may have heard of or seen before. Again, Eshet Chayil Miyamsad, the Pshat of Eshet Chayil is basically a list of characteristics that we're all, men and women alike, supposed to emulate as Yirei Hashem. But Chazal say, isn't it interesting that the persona who is chosen to express these values is a female? And maybe that's because there are so many female characters in Tanakh who really, perhaps even more than their counter male characters, they're the ones who show, who exemplify what these character traits are all about. And sure enough, Chazal take pasuk, and they show how every pasuk, how every character trait is going to be portrayed through a particular Isha batanach, a female persona in Tanakh. For example, batach lev ba'ala, that's Sarah Imenu. So what you're going to learn with your chavruto tomorrow night, the Ezrat Hashem, is that go why these psukim related to these characters. Is that okay? Hannah, we can, as I said, have a whole shiur just on this. But the malatu tovalora is Rifa Imenu. Zarshatem ofishtim is Leah. Na'aniot socher is Rachel. Batakam ba'od Laila is Bitya bat Paro.
Someone who was very proactive and initiating on her own, that's clearly Yocheved. Strong personality, that's Miriam for you. Tama Kitzov Sachra, Hannah, who knows that she has a great purchase, a great asset, i.e. Tzvila, that's Chana, Yadeha Shulcha Bakishor, who is the woman with the spindle, and that's Yael, who's ready to kill Sisra. Kafa Parsal Yani, the Isha Omanat Tzarfatit, who provided Eliyahu with Lechem. Lo Tira Leveita Mishala, Kicho Beita Labushanim, who put out a scarlet thread from her window. Ah, that's Rachav Hazona. Marvadim Astala, that's Batsheva, and who had the glory of Malchut by giving birth to Shlomo. Noda B'Sharim Ba'ala, make sure everyone knew who her husband was. Michal, who saved David's life. Sadim Asta Batimkar, the famous story of Shimshon. Anna, the story of Sadinim, of linens that he tricked the Plishtim with. Oz V'Hadzar Levusha, who had Oz and Hadzar, Kuhuna, Malchut, that's Elisheva Bataminadav. Pia Patcha B'Chachma, that's Avia, she's the Yisha Chachama from Tekoa. Sophia Halichot Beita, that's Eshet Ovadia. In Chazal, the story, again, before the Shunamit. Ena Sefer Melachim Perek Dalet. Kamu Banave Yashuha, that's the Shunamit, who was rewarded by having a child after providing so much Hachnasat Orchim to Elisha. By the way, just the basic character traits, I would argue that all these women act with Chesed. Again, Hachnasat Orchim, providing for Amin, taking care of Eliyahu and Elisha and the Malachim, and saving the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. Come on, these are certainly character traits that we all strive for. This is Eshet Chayil. Now we get to, I would say, the greatest pasuk of all. We're wondering, don't you, just for a moment. And Rabot Banot Asul Chayil. What does that pasuk mean? Many of the aforementioned women have performed Chayil. We just said, this, that was great, and Ruth and Rachel and Leah, they're wonderful. Va'at Alit Alkulana. But there is one who supersedes all of these. Right, the drum roll, we're waiting to hear. Who is this? Who is the character in Tanakh who supersedes all others? You ready? Okay, fine, it's a little bolded. That's Ruth HaMoaviyah. And the irony that Chazal say, not just Ruth, Ruth HaMoaviyah, what are they trying to show you? This is not necessarily just a Torah value, it's a universal value. Ironically, who is going to supersede all of the female characters in Tanakh? Ruth, who isn't even Jewish. And this then becomes the basis of Torah Chesed. Before you go ahead and you say, yes, I'm so frum, right? Yes, I fulfill the mitzvah ben adam l'makom. Please remember Ruth HaMoaviyah. Please remember that the basis is Chesed. That's really the character trait that we should all strive for. And that's something universal. And it doesn't matter what your background is. And it doesn't make a difference how much you know. And that's going to be the foundation for what Chayil really is about. And therefore, Chazal say, not only is she the Rabot Banot Shenechnasa Tachat Kanfei HaShchina, then in the end, she really is going to be provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheker HaChem V'Heva HaYofi, she forfeited her entire past. As we already know, she provided for Nomi's Tshuva, Kibla Kol HaMitzvot, Gen Tchum Shabbos, Gen Mezuzah, Kvura, V'chulei, L'ficha Sachta V'yatsa Mimena David. And that's why she doesn't just provide for Naomi's Tshuva, and she doesn't just provide for long-term Geula, but she's going to provide for universal and national Malchut for Am Yisrael. Sherivala Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Shirot V'Tishpachot L'fichach Ne'emar. And therefore, it's not by chance that Shlomo will write, almost with Ruth, his great-great-grandmother in mind, Tznula Mipi Adeha V'Ya'aluha B'Sharim Masaha. The greatest reward, then, that one can offer someone who acts with chesed is give her of the fruits of her own hands. Show her kama sacharto legomle hasadim. Halavai, that we should all be inspired this year, not only from the character of Ruth, but from the character of Boaz and Naomi, who know how to respond after being inspired by Ruth. And as Hashem, we will also be not just the sacharto legomle hasadim, but the Ezrat Hashem, the brachot of tshuva and geula and mishikuta ben David. That's amazing.